Hosea chapter number 2. We're going to look at one verse here, and then we're going to flip over to Hosea chapter 5. But Hosea chapter number 2, verse number 6. Hosea chapter 2, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths." Now let's flip over to Hosea chapter number 5. Hosea chapter 5, verse number 1. "Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is towards you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not, listen to this, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth-Aven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early." Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for the safety you give us this morning on the buses. Lord, thank you for all the folks that came. Lord, I thank you for all the teenagers that have come today. Lord, I pray that you would just bless them and help them. Lord, I saw some faces, Lord, of young people that used to come when they were in, you know, second, third, fourth grade, and now they are a teenager. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would just decide to honor you with their lives, Lord, and to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they would serve you with their lives, and just pray that you would help them and bless them. Help us here this morning as we look at something, Lord, that has been a blessing in my life, Lord, and that we must keep a watch on, and that we must keep a close eye on, lest we let things slip. And Lord, I pray that you just help us this morning. Help me be a blessing to folks here this morning. Just guide my words in Jesus' name. Amen. If you notice in Hosea chapter number 2, if you flip back over there, that this one phrase, the Bible says, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths." Now, if you go back over to Hosea chapter 5, verse number 4, the Bible says, "They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God." Now, look down in verse number 10. "The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water." We're going to talk this morning about just this simple thought that I think Hosea presents well, the book of Hosea presents to us, is the thought of stepping out of bounds. Stepping out of bounds. Everybody knows what stepping out of bounds means. If you watch any kind of sports, every sport has a boundary, doesn't it? And when you step out of that boundary, you are penalized for stepping out of that boundary. If you play basketball, you step out of bounds and the ball goes to the other team. If you catch a ball, you watch a guy play football and they're very careful. You know, they catch a ball right at the edge, and what do? They drag their feet. They always drag their feet because they don't want to step what? Out of bounds. Because if they step out of bounds and they caught the ball and they stepped out of bounds without having both feet in bounds, they have to redo that down over. So every sport, everything has bounds. Everybody has bounds everywhere. I mean, my son, Micah, you know, I got him up this morning to get him dressed and ready for the bus. You know what he was in? Bounds. The crib. Amen. And you know what? We all like the bounds when it's for somebody else sometimes. But a lot of times we don't like the bounds that is sometimes around us. And, you know, all of our kids, it's like, all right, you can go. You're not allowed out of my sight. You know, I tell my kids when they're playing here at church, unless, you know, most of the time you're to stay on the sidewalk. You know what has happened before? I've gone outside and my child is nowhere to be seen on the sidewalk. You know what's happened? They stepped out of bounds. They've stepped away from the perimeters that I have given them. And because of that, there is a penalty for stepping out of bounds. Okay? You don't want your children just to, you know, most people, unless they got older kids, they don't just let your kids go outside whenever they want. You know, the house, and it's funny how bounds expand as you get older. They do. You know, I don't sleep in a crib at night, okay? I don't have those bounds. My daughters don't sleep in a crib. But you know what they're supposed to do? Yes, I've given them some more flexibility. You know, I don't keep them in a cage, you know, like I do my son, okay? You said it's a crib. No, it's a cage, okay? It just don't have a top on it. That's it. That's the only difference, okay? You want to go see my pigs? I have them in the same. It's a bigger area, but this is in the same. Yeah, it's not quite as nice, but it's a cage, okay? And I keep my son in a cage. Now you're like, oh, Brother Chad, you know, oh, it's a crib. All right, give me a break. But that's what it is. It's designed so he cannot get out of it. Although he's really learning real fast, I think he's not going to take him real long to figure out how to scale the side of his enclosure. But what is it? It's a bound. It's something that has been put around him. And we see here in Hosea chapter number 2, verse 6, that Hosea says, I'm building up a hedge and I'm building up a wall around. Basically, Hosea is here in this situation. He's talking about Gomer. Why? Why was he doing that? So that she wouldn't go to her lovers. That's why he was doing it. Well, in Hosea chapter number 5, we see Ephraim in verse number 4, the Bible says, they will not frame their doings. What is a frame? A picture frame. Think about a picture frame. What is it? It's a bound, isn't it? It's something that goes around the picture. And you know what God's saying here? He's saying, all right, Ephraim or Israel, they are not putting a perimeter around what they do. They want to go live however they want to, and they're not framing their doings, okay? When you frame a wall, all these walls have framing in them, okay? And it's a support, it's a structure. But do you know what it is? It's a wall. It's a wall. Everybody right now is inside this wall. Everybody in this room right now is sitting inside this wall. So in a sense, you're sitting inside of a boundary, all right? Now, you're free to go. You're free to come, okay? But you chose to sit inside this boundary. Now, you say, Brother Chad, what are boundaries for? And this is, I think, the biggest thing that we, I think, especially as young people, and I want to thank everybody here this morning, and I'm going to get to some of that, but as a young person, you so many times you don't see the walls around you as something good. You see the walls around you as something to be broken through, or you try to get out of them. My son is always, Micah is always trying to, you know, he wants out of his crib. All right? That's what he wants to do. He wants to get out of his crib. Okay? And, you know, what would be a sport without boundaries? You know, have you ever tried to play a sport that, you know, that they say, let's play tag, but there's no boundaries? Yeah, that works well. You got kids running everywhere. Okay? You have to have perimeters. You have to have something that sets the standard for what they are to do and what they're not allowed to do. But you know what? We don't like that. We don't like somebody saying, well, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. Verse number 10 of Hosea. It's basically saying the same thing. The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. They're removing that boundary, Okay, and this is exactly what God's talking about. Okay, they didn't want to stay inside the boundaries. Okay, they didn't like the confines of their boundaries. So what did they do? The Bible says not just did they run outside of them, they changed the boundaries to make them broader so they could go farther out. And then they, in their mind, it's like, well, we still have boundaries. Well, yeah. Okay, listen, most contemporary Christians still have some boundaries. But is that the boundaries that they're supposed to have? No. In most cases, it's a boundary that they have moved to make them feel better. And that's what they're doing. They're moving the boundary. All right? So we see that. Let's go, but I want to show you something. Let's go back to Job chapter number 1. The book of Job, chapter number 1. You know, we look at boundaries, we do look at boundaries, especially as young people, we look at boundaries as more like a prison wall than something that's there for our protection. You know, when you're driving down the road, preacher was talking about some of the roads they were on in Montana, and you know what he said? He said you looked over the side and it was a straight drop off. You know, we have guardrails around here. You know, if you've got a 6-foot ditch, they put a guardrail around it. They do. Is that, you know, we don't feel threatened by a guardrail, do you? Nobody feels threatened by it. You're thankful for the guardrail. Because if something happened and you blew a tire and you lost control, that guardrail is to keep you from hurting yourself. So the guardrail is not there to, you know, confine you. It's there to protect you. And that's what we see here in Job chapter number 1. And folks, I think God's put guardrails. I just looked at my verse and it wasn't what I was wanting. All right. God has put guardrails in our life not to hurt us but to protect us. Job chapter number 1. I wrote 16, but that's not the verse. All right. Verse number 10. Job chapter 1, verse number 10. Or 9, let's look at 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." What did Satan ask God? He said, "God, you won't let me touch Job. You've put a hedge about Job." Do you know what that is? It's a boundary. It's a boundary. So as long as Job stayed in that hedge, there's protection in that hedge. That's what God put the hedge for. It wasn't so that it would hinder Job. It was to protect Job. And Satan said, "God, you've put that hedge in front of Job. How am I supposed to do anything?" And you know, folks, God has put a hedge around us as Christians. Say, "Brother Chad, what is the hedge?" It's rules. It's standards. It's a thing you're supposed to live by. That's the hedge that God has put around us. And you know what? And I want to thank those older folks in here. You know, most of you, or not most of you, probably 50% of you knew me when I was probably Micah's age. But you know what? I didn't understand. I was in the crib just like Micah was, and I didn't understand the crib when I was in there. Not that I remember being in there. I'm sure I was. But I didn't, you know, I'm sure I did the same thing he's doing. I wanted out of it. He wants to go outside. I mean, that's his thing now. He just wants to go outside, which I'm glad. That's great. But I don't want him outside unless he is supervised outside. And so you know what that door is? It's a hedge. It's a wall. And it's not to hinder him from enjoying something necessarily. It's to protect him from things that I can't at that moment control. And that's exactly what God has done for us. And I was in the same, and you know what folks have done for me in this church? I didn't understand the rules. I didn't understand why Pastor had the rules that he's had. But what was it? It was a hedge. It was a protection. And until you're older a lot of times, and most of you, I think, would look back and say, well, I'm thankful for the things that were instituted in my life by my parents or by my pastor that brought me up in a certain way, even though I didn't understand it at the time. You know, and on behalf of these young people, all these young people out here, you know, they don't, and I'm close enough to them in age, I guess, that I still understand what some of the thoughts they go through. But they don't understand necessarily why they can't do certain things, why we don't participate in certain activities, why we don't listen to certain things, why we don't watch things on TV. They don't completely understand that. And I'm not saying that I do. But at some point, you just have to trust that, okay, I don't understand what's on the other side, but I'm trusting the person that put it there, that they know that it's for my protection. I was watching Micah last night. He was out. We actually let him outside. And I was thinking, and this is actually, I wasn't really planning on saying this morning, but, you know, he was crawling through the grass. And I was just thinking, what would happen if every adult left and he was on his own for a week? No chance of survival. None. There is no chance that he would survive. But it goes back to this. But you know what? There is survivability, even in my house, there is survivability inside the walls. Inside the confines that I give him, there is an opportunity for him to live and to prosper and to grow. But when he steps outside, if he would step outside, you know, obviously he's not old enough to run away, but if he would run away right now, he's not going to make it. Okay? I've got two little gilts, the ones we had here for the Roundup Sunday. You know what? They're pretty little. I don't know, they're 35 pounds, 40 pounds a piece. But they've been brought up domesticated. You know, if they was wild pigs, they'd probably do okay. But they would be hard-pressed to survive for a while. But they're very safe. They've got everything provided for them. Their food's provided for them. Their shelter's provided for them. Their water's provided for them. But it's all within the bounds that we have set for them. Brother Tommy, your turkeys, they're dumb. They're stupid. They wouldn't survive without what you give them. They wouldn't. They're intellectually retarded. I'm serious. But you put them inside the bounds and they can thrive. You take the bounds away from them and they die. That's the way it is. Okay? And to, you know, to hear this explain, it's like, oh yeah. But when it comes into our life, it's like, well, we don't want those bounds. When what we don't realize is for our life. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. So the hedge around Job was not there to hurt him, but to protect him. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. I love this verse. I actually heard a message. Probably nobody's ever heard of this guy. Maybe you have. Sean Mulroney. I mean, big guy. But he's crazy. I mean, as far as preaching, he preached on this one verse, but I've never forgot it. But Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 8, Bible says, "He that diggeth the pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh the hedge, a serpent shall bite him." That was his whole message, was about if you break through the hedge, a serpent shall bite you. And he was screaming and hollering, and I mean, he was probably 400 pounds. I'm not exaggerating. If you've ever seen him. But he was running up and down the aisles and all kinds of stuff. I thought he was going to die. I really did. But, you know, I never forgot it. You know, but what it was, whoso breaketh the hedge, a serpent shall bite him. You want to break through that wall, there's consequences on the other side of it. If Job would have broke through the hedge, you know what was waiting on the other side? The serpent, Satan was. And God had to take the hedge away temporarily so that Satan could even do anything to Job. So we see that Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah just should be just a few pages over. Isaiah chapter 5. This here again is talking about God's relationship to Israel. Bible says, and now, verse number 3, Isaiah 5, verse number 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Judah, or house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. You know what they did in the old times? When a man planted a vineyard, he just didn't plant a vineyard. He then built a wall around his vineyard to protect it, so things wouldn't be eaten, so people wouldn't come in and steal things. That's what he did. But you know what he's saying here? Okay, you're not producing the fruit that I want, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tear down this wall. And then what happens? Verse number 5. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it to waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. You know what happens? When God removes that bound, things happen in life that we have no control over, that you can't even explain. Why? Because that bound, as the princes of Judah did in Hosea chapter number 5, they've removed the bound and it's let all kind. And then people want to say, well, why is this happening to me? Because you've removed the bound. Because you've gone outside of the boundaries. You've stepped out of bounds. You're out. Okay? So the hedge protects the vineyard. The hedge protects the vineyard. Let's go to Ezekiel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, chapter 22. I know this may be a little bit different context, but I think it goes along with what we're talking about this morning. Isaiah or Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30. The Bible says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore, have I poured out mine indignation upon them? I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. You know the sad thing about America right now? And I'm not saying a revival can't come to America, because God can do anything. But if you have Christians that said, okay, I want to be the people that will make up the hedge and stand in the gap. You know what the Bible says? You know what our pastor does for us as young people? Do you know what a parent does for a child? They are the ones that make up the hedge. And there's one way out, and that's the gap. But they stand in the gap. Do you know what that is? Okay, for instance, I'm in, you know, my child comes to me and I say, you're not allowed to go outside. And Emily comes to me, and what's the rule? You're not allowed to go outside. So that's the hedge. But you know what I am? I'm the one that stands in the gap. So she comes to me and she says, Daddy, can I go outside? Now she can do one of two things. She can come to the person that stands in the gap and ask them for permission to go outside the hedge, or she can break through the hedge. She goes to the person standing in the gap, and I can give her permission to yes or no, you may go or you have to stay, if she goes to the person that's standing in the gap. If she doesn't go to the person and she goes outside, what is she doing? She's breaking through the hedge. And what happens anytime you break through the hedge? The serpent will bite. So there's a punishment. Does that make sense? Okay, so, but you know what happens? What we need is people, and I want to thank those people in here that are older. You know what you've done for me? You've made up the hedge and said, these are the rules that Chad Gordon has to live by. These are the rules of the school. These are the rules of the youth group. These are the rules that they have to, that he needs to live by. Okay? But you're also there to stand in the gap. You know, rules aren't for, the hedge is not for breaking. It's not what it's designed for. And the person standing in the gap has to have the wisdom to know whether the person that's inside the hedge has the ability to go outside of the hedge. Does that make sense? You know, I don't still do things the same way as I did when I was, you know, I remember the first time my mom and dad let me go out to the woods by myself. Take a rifle and go out to the woods by myself. I still remember that. You know what that was? To that point, I was still in the hedge of, no, you're not allowed to go to the woods by yourself. Definitely not with a firearm. But at some point they said, okay, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. So I'm not in the same bounds that I used to be growing up. But you know what? I'm only 28. There's still bounds in my life. Thing is, when you're an adult, most of the time you place your own bounds within the bounds of the government and the law. But you place your own bounds. Nobody places the bounds necessarily on you on what you can watch on TV or what you can look at on your phone or what you listen to on your radio on the way to work. Nobody but you places those bounds. But remember, the bounds is there. I think a lot of ways, if it's good for the gander, it's good for the goose. You know, a lot of things we tell our kids to do that would be good for us to do too. Just because we tell our, you know, you shouldn't listen to bad music. Well, if that's a bound for them, it's a bound for me. I want to be consistent. Okay? I don't want these kids to think that I do something that I would ask them to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do. You know what? I waited until my wedding day to kiss her. I waited till my wedding day to hold her hand. That was a bound that we put in our relationship. That was a boundary. And you know what? I didn't want to break out of that boundary. I didn't want to break through that hedge because I didn't want to get bit by the serpent. So I hope you understand what I'm talking about this morning is there are bounds in life. And I can't set the bounds for you. I can't. But I think when it comes down to it, I think you'll be glad that if you set your bounds a little bit tighter, all right, set them a little bit tighter. Hey, be accountable. Be accountable to somebody that stands in the gap. Be accountable to somebody. You know, I know you're all adults and, you know, Brother Chad, you want us all have rules? Yes, I live by rules. You know what they're called when you're an adult? They're not called rules, they're called principles. And if you don't live by principles, you're an unprincipled person. Okay? I've already decided. You say, Brother Chad, what would you do in certain situations? A lot of them, I've already decided what I would do because I live in a certain boundary. And if somebody comes to me and says, can I tempt you to do this? No. That's outside of bounds. I can't do that. So if you have the hedge set up, you can say, no, I can't do that. I heard the story, and I'll finish with this story. There's a boy named Peter, and they live close to the seashore. And growing up, he was always allowed to go outside and play, and he was allowed to go to certain areas of the property. But there was one area that his daddy had, or somebody, his grandpa actually, his grandpa had built basically a hedge that was impenetrable. You couldn't get through it. It was absolutely impossible to get through. In fact, you couldn't even see through it. It was all grown up, and it was very, very thick and had thorns in mixed in with it. And Peter couldn't, he never could, for the life of him, he never could get through it. He was allowed, you know, after, like I said, after he got out of the crib, he was allowed out of the house, he was allowed to do pretty much whatever he wanted to, but Peter never could get through that hedge. He was frustrated. And his dad really didn't even tell him, Peter, you're not allowed to go through the hedge. It was just put there as, for whatever, Peter, he had no clue. Peter had some friends come over every once in a while, and they didn't have the rules like Peter did in his house. And they would go out and they would have fun. But eventually, as all boys do, you explore every portion of the property and the portions of property on all sides of you. And they challenged Peter about going. It's like, what's on the other side of that hedge? Why is that? Because it was almost a fence. They couldn't get through it. And they challenged Peter and they said, Peter, why don't you go through that hedge? Why can't you bust through? And man, if it was me, I would be through that thing in an instant. I bet there's something back there. I bet your dad's got some kind of secret hiding spot or something back there. Well, as any boy, man, they want to find out what that is. And he's like, no, I can't even get through it. It's impossible. It's too thick. It's too got too many thorns. I can't get through it. And Peter's, you know, they egged him on like young men will do, okay? And he's like, I don't even have a way to get through it. So one of his friends one day at school, he said, hey, Peter, come over here to my locker. So he went over to his locker and he pulled out a large machete, very sharp. And he said, here, you said you didn't have any way to get through that hedge. I'm going to give you a way to get through that hedge. So Peter shoved it down. This is before they had metal detectors at school. He shoved it down in his backpack and he went home. But Peter was scared. Because even though his dad had never said, you're not allowed to go through that, Peter also knew that his dad, it was one of them subtle, you know, that's an off-limits area. So Peter never, you know, he knew that if he tried, he would be in trouble. That night, he went to bed, and he couldn't sleep. All he could think about, man, I could sneak out there, and I could go through that hedge. And I could see what's on the other side. I got a flashlight, got my machete. He didn't. Next morning, his friend came up to him asking in school, hey, Peter, did you go through that? Did you go through it last night? It's like, no, I didn't go through it. It's like I chickened out. And, you know, of course, like any good friend, he started making fun of him, calling him a chicken. He's like, I double dog dare you tonight. Well, that's a double dog dare. You can't let that go by. All right. That night, I mean, he was in a cold sweat. He couldn't sleep. About 1 o'clock in the morning, it was pitch black out. New moon, so there was no moon. And he went out and he took his lantern and he started to the hedge and he got about halfway there and he decided, I can't. I know I'm not supposed to go through that. So he turned around and went back home and then about 2 hours later, he's like, man, I can't face my friends tomorrow though if I don't go through that. So he went back and he got all his stuff again and he headed back over there. And very slowly, he started chopping his way as best he could without getting cut by thorns and everything. He started chopping his way through that hedge. He finally got to where he could barely crawl through and he couldn't see anything. He shined his light out and he couldn't see anything. It looked like a big open space to him. He could see on the other side. He could see some hedge on the other side. So he finally chopped it through and he was struggling to go through and all of a sudden his light went out. The guiding light that he could see with, it went out. He finally chopped his way all the way through and he took 3 steps and there was nothing. What Peter didn't know is what his dad already knew was that there was a huge sinkhole there, 75, 80 feet deep. The hedge was not there to keep Peter from having fun. The hedge was to keep Peter from hurting himself. But because a foolish friend, which happens today, enticed him and provoked him into doing something he shouldn't have done, Peter lost his life. Was it because his dad didn't put up boundaries? No. His dad had the boundaries. He just decided that he wanted to go past the boundaries. So whatever boundaries in our lives, whether it's put there by yourself or put there by authority, just remember that there is a consequence for going outside the boundary. It may not be death, but I have seen people die. I've seen people crippled. I've seen people that will never say another word their entire life. Why? Because they, at some point, they were doing like Gomer was, and they wanted to step outside the boundaries. So let's just think about that this week. What is there in our life that maybe you say, Bro Chad, I'm already living outside these boundaries. Well, I think the best thing to do is go right back inside, because there's safety inside the bounds. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, help the services to follow. Lord, help the teens as they conduct the service. Lord, just bless them. I know they're nervous. I know they need some boldness this morning. Pray that you just help them and be with them. Lord, help the preaching, help the junior churches. Lord, I pray that you just bless every aspect of the service in Jesus' name.